Hi, this is Amy Oldrick, Vice President of Risk Management for Antom Risk, and I am with Sarah Roberts.
All right, we're talking to Amy, and I want to kind of get an idea of why is it important to do a practice risk assessment? What is the overall goal? What's the benefit if I was a health system or even a single practice? What's the benefit of doing an assessment?
One of the things that I think really benefits the most is having that unbiased look at your practices, be it whether you've been in that practice management structure for 10 years versus this is a new practice to your organization. You really don't know what you don't know is going on in the practice. And it's the first step in planning risk management and quality management for any department or practice is really understanding what's happening there. So, you know, we think of these physician practices either as a group or individually as kind of a department of the hospital. And they are. They're part of the organization, but the flow and the things that happen in the practice are very different than how things happen in a hospital. You know, in the hospital, we have central sterile processing. You know, sterile equipment magically appears and you use it and it magically disappears
That's
and someone
right.
else handles it. But in that physician practice, are they aligned with the organization as far as are they sending everything, couriering mm-hmm. it to that central sterile processing, or are they actually processing instruments for sterilization in that practice? So you really want to look at the different pieces of how things work because it is not apples to apples. It's kind
right.
of, you know, apples to oranges. And then you really want to identify what are the unique risks to those practices. So
mm-hmm.
when you're looking at it overall, what are your overarching risks to mm-hmm. practices? But then specific to that practice, what are those unique risks? Because you've got to figure out what those risks are so you can either plan to avoid it, so you don't do that autoclaving
right.
office, you do ship it in, you plan to mitigate it, or you continue to autoclave, you purchase as many items as you can that are disposable, and then you have the few that have to be autoclaved, and then you have good training, good competencies, and good documentation around that process, or you just accept it, and you continue to go with the fully
right.
autoclaved. And again, you build that plan around training competencies and someone who audits that process.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to identify those risks. You have to have that risk appetite evaluation. And then you have to plan how you're going to mitigate those risks. And then you use that to see, do we have policies and procedures? We talk about those kind of at the beginning of the assessments. But then we look at how that aligns. Or do we need a policy and procedure? A lot of times what I find is there's, you know, oh, yes, we've always used an autoclave. But there's not actually a policy for how often it's used. Who actually uses it? Are there training and competencies for that? It's been in the practice for the last 10 years. Every time somebody that's clinical is onboarded, they're taught how to use it, but it's not really documented that they're taught how to use it. The information for use or the instruction manual is missing. So every autoclave is a little different in what
right.
it requires for weekly, monthly, and quarterly, and annually cleaning, and how you document that. So making sure those big pieces are there that maybe, like I said, we don't know what we don't know. If you don't have a clinical manager, they don't understand that process. They've never done that hands-on, so that manager doesn't know what they don't know. And they don't know what to look for to make sure it's done. So when you're looking at that, you really want to help develop those organizational policies, procedures, workflows. And then you want to really understand with these physician practices, these are the gateway to your hospital. This is oftentimes the first impression of your organization.
Right.
Because out on the physician practice sign, it might say family practice, but it's got your hospital name above it and the hospital logo above it. So, I mean, those are really big points. Think about your patients and how they enter your hospital system. It's through interactions in the physician practice. And when they exit your hospital system, where are we sending them back to? We're sending them to that physician practice. So when we talk about a continuum of care, the real goal of these physician practice risk assessments are to look at the risks in the continuum of care and not just address risks in the hospital, but address them pre-hospital and post-hospital and really have a true enterprise risk plan that talks about how you address risk to patients at any stage in that continuum.
Sure. Yeah, that definitely sounds sounds like a good thing considering that there are many more patient encounters at practices because there's all different types of practices. All people have all different kinds of things going on they need to see a provider for. So there's a lot more of those than encounters in a hospital.
And our goals, as we look at patient outcomes and quality mm-hmm. outcomes, is to keep patients in that outpatient
That's
world
right.
and manage
That's
things.
Right.
Our goal is not for them, for our diabetics to be in diabetic ketoacidosis. It's
right.
for them to be managed in the practice so they
mm-hmm.
never get in the hospital.
That's
so
right.
you really have to look at how you manage the total health of a patient. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you have to understand what happens in those practices and the risks associated
right.
there.
Could you talk a little bit about kind of the overall, how you use kind of internal experts, talking about a big picture of having, developing these policies and procedures and workflows, using kind of internal experts to do that?
So one of the things that I think really had not occurred to me, having been a nurse for 18 years in the hospital setting, is I knew who my internal experts were. So for example, I worked on the inpatient chemotherapy unit back in the early 2000s, and I had a friend that I went to college with that was a labor and delivery nurse. Well, methotrexate can be used to treat ectopic pregnancies. So they thought they needed someone from the inpatient chemo unit to come give an IM dose of methotrexate because it's a chemo. Their impression was that you wore this, you know, big suit and it was, you know, some sort of fancy, and really you just put on a pair of gloves and gave a shot like you would if it was a tetanus shot,
yeah.
you know.
Yes.
So I knew who, and I knew that if I needed an NG tube put down, that my surgical floor nurses were going to be the best ones because they were continuously
sure.
putting down NG tubes. So you kind of get used to that. But in the physician practices, they are a little more siloed by physical location.
Right.
You have a lot that are very separated by miles. So when you're thinking about internal experts, and you're thinking about people who can train them, are you thinking that central sterile processing can teach them? They're not thinking about a department of the hospital helping them. They're thinking of only the people in their office. And when you talk about autoclaves and why is that important? Because you can get an infection from a minor invasive procedure in the office. Again, that's a risk management issue. How big of an infection did you get? Did they become septic? Did they have to be admitted? You know, you're looking globally, not just at the risks, but mm-hmm. how does it impact you financially through claims and claims management?
That's right.
So when you're talking about the experts and identifying these experts, you really want to look across all of the practices and at departments of the hospital. But for the staff who work in the actual ambulatory practices, they don't necessarily know the departments of the hospital.
Essentially, they've never even worked there if they've only worked in that practice before.
And in many states, you know, medical assistants or non-licensed personnel
mm-hmm.
don't work in a hospital.
Right.
And that is the majority of your clinical team in your physician practice.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a huge disconnect between
sure.
the two. So part of that risk assessment is helping them find the right people within the organization that can help them meet these goals when they don't know where to even start to look.
And it sounds like a major benefit of doing these practice assessments is you can look at the whole picture. You can look at patient safety aspects, you know, following these the patients with the policies and procedures from start to finish. And then also the environmental, you can do an enterprise risk take to be able to better impact the whole organization. Anything else you'd like to add about why would you do a practice assessment, Amy?
I would say as we move forward, and as we've moved forward over the years in healthcare in general, we have pushed and pushed more towards that patient outcome and quality patient outcomes. And risk assessments are really one of the main ways you can help push that forward. If you don't understand how you lose that mammogram result, if you don't understand how, for example, if your electronic medical record doesn't have foot illustration so
mm-hmm.
that you can document your diabetic foot exams, you're losing reimbursement on that. Not only that,
right.
but under that office, if that office sees a lot of your diabetic patients, then one of the things they're measured on are the diabetic standards. So that's your hemoglobin A1C. That's
mm-hmm.
your diabetic foot exam annually. That's your blood sugars. That's all the things you have to touch on as a provider, and that goes against that practice and that provider. So you're really wanting to look overall
mm-hmm.
at all these different risks that you wouldn't really recognize if you didn't have a big global picture. So you're pushing quality, but the way to do that is to look at the areas where there are risks, fill those gaps in, and then that ends up pushing that quality.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you found the information useful. For other information about Anthem Risk and the services that we provide, please go to our website, anthemrisk.com.